It's good to see all of you guys here. This is really loud.
Hey,
Kevin. Hey, Jay. Everybody, Jay's back. Okay, so tonight, for those who don't know, we're going to have a time of open mic sharing. So, we had the English retreat in the past weekend, so I'm sure the Lord has spoken a lot to every single one of the youth that attended, and this is really a time for us to come and just share about what it is that the Lord has taught us in the retreat. In this way, when we do this, I think there's a lot of benefits for everybody. I mean, for one, we're reminded of the things we forgot, because I'm sure everybody has remembered something different. The Lord has spoken something different to everybody. And I think for those of you who are going to be coming up to share, it's really good too, because it solidifies what it is that we heard for ourselves. And of course, this way we can really glorify what the Lord, we can glorify the Lord for what he's done in this retreat. So, because I was called on to be up here, I can share first. So I'll share about what I got out of this retreat. I think the feeling I got from this retreat when I left was just that I felt really encouraged. I think that would be the one word I could sum up my retreat experience with. Just, it was encouraging for me, and coming out of the retreat, I feel so encouraged, excited to follow the Lord once again, to pick up my slack, and to really follow him with all that I have. Is I think this retreat felt different than past retreats. Past retreats, I felt like coming out of the retreat, it was what we would call the mountaintop experience, where we're at the retreat and we feel like the Lord really touched us. Like it was really emotional, and the Lord is so good. And at that time, we would come out of the retreat and we're so amped to serve the Lord. We're so amped to love him more. We're so amped to serve one another. But I think this retreat, from me at least, it felt different. It wasn't that same kind of emotional, amped up feeling. It was more of a, I have something more solid to run on. Just more solid for myself, which was different. And I think it was really nice that the Lord worked in that way. I think just in terms of what I felt the Lord spoke to me through the messages, I think there were two things that I found really encouraging that the Lord reminded me of. And I think the first thing would be what Sam already touched on during this inspiration, which was the Lord is looking for the right man for the job. And there's a lot of ways the Lord could have had his freed the Israelites out of Egypt, but the Lord was waiting for the right man. He was waiting for the right vessel to do the job, and I found that encouraging, because I don't want to be one of the people that the Lord had to pass over and say, hey, this is not the guy for the job. This is not the right vessel for me to use. But I found it encouraging because, I just really want to be the man that the Lord can use. And I know I'm not there yet. I know that the Lord has a lot of work to do in me. But I'm encouraged to know that and how the Lord prepares a man, and that is when the man is really just broken to a place where he has no strength of his own left. And all he has left is just that he has nothing left, just like how Moses at the end of the 80 years, and he wrote Psalm 90, he was so finished with everything he had. He was so finished with all the education he had in Egypt, all the things he thought he knew. He was done with that, and all he had left was just the Lord. And I thought it was encouraging that the Lord prepares a man in that way. And I think the second thing that I found really encouraging through the messages was just that our brother Tang was talking about how what things were wrong with Egypt. I think that was the second message, where he labeled the slides "Crisis in Egypt," and he listed what things were wrong with Egypt. You know, Egypt is the bitter life. It's the life of bondage, and it's also the place where there is the Pharaoh, who could be your female boss. There was the false gods, and then there was in Egypt was also a place of death. And and he listed what Egypt represented in our spiritual lives, just a place of like just the world. And I think what I found really encouraging was the Lord, was Brother Tang said that the Lord doesn't just take the Israelites out of Egypt and forget about them, but he has something better in store for them. He wants to bring them to Canaan. And I found that really encouraging because towards the end of the retreat, our brother Tang began to, he talked about the tabernacle and that the Lord desires that we could be a people who can commune with him within the veil. So the Lord doesn't want to just take us out of Egypt and leave us alone, but the Lord really desires that we meet him face to face, close, within the Holy of Holies. So that's my incoherent sharing, because I was not expecting to be up here first. But, right, so that's what I got out of the retreat. Or those are the main points. So, right, now we're going to open up the mic for anybody else to share. Actually, we do have a list of people who have confirmed that they're going to share. I'm just seeing if all those people are here. Okay, so first on the list would be Suk. I'm not making this up. That's how the list is. So Suk, if you could come up here. And then I'll quickly grab the list and I'll leave it up here. And when you're done sharing, just call on the next person. That way we can get the meeting moving and there's not a lot of waiting time. And then after, when the list is done, anybody else is free to come up to share. Am I missing anything? Sweet. So Suk.
Yeah. Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Yes. So the retreat was last week, and I learned two big lessons actually. Well, the first one's not too big, but it was a reminder of James chapter 1 verse 19, and I'll just read it out for you. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And I was reminded of this verse. I think it was Sunday night, the message. Before he got down to message, he said, I overheard someone saying they'd sleep during the message. Yeah, that was me. That was me, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, yeah. What he shared was Moses looked left, well, looked to the left, looked to the right, looked this way and that way, but he didn't look up. And yeah, you can't hide from God. Okay, second lesson. After the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and they reached the place of Marah, bitterness, and he he was also saying that how the Israelites' journey was a reflection of our spiritual life. And so when the Israelites reached this place called Marah, they asked Moses, "What shall we drink?" Because all there was bitter water. And I believe in my Bible it says that they could not drink the bitter water. And so the Lord showed Moses a tree, and Moses cast the tree into the waters, and the water became sweet. And the first thought I had was, wow, Moses is so strong, he can cast a tree into water by himself. But anyways, it just shows the Jehovah Rapha, the healer. The Lord is able to heal all bitterness that we have. And the tree is, to our life today, the cross of Christ. And what is our bitterness today? And it's the baggage of our old life, our flesh, our temptations, maybe our past sins, and also what can we be bitter about in the body of Christ today? Like maybe our we're tired of service, or there's the school is bogging us down, our profession is bogging us down. What I saw from the story of Moses was that Moses cast the tree into waters, and I believe Brother Ting said something about the Lord did not get angry because they were babies. They were like straight out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They were basically new believers, new Christians. But the question is, what happens to us who are maybe we're not so new? What happens when Moses is not there to cast the tree in the water for us? We have no teacher to teach us. Maybe we need encouragement, and there's no encouragement for us. Maybe we need to continue with our Bible reading, but no one's there to yell at us. Or maybe just how we're just tired of ourselves and what little we can do. And the only way for us to stand is through Jesus. And the only way to sweet water is through Jesus Christ. And like when Moses is not there, what will the Israelites do? And the same question is for us today. Like, what do I do when I'm lonely, or I have, like when no one's looking at your spiritual life, what do you do? And the question is, do we look to the cross, and do we try and obtain the Lord for ourselves? The last word is that God is wants to be among his people, and dwelling among his people is important in the mind of God. And so the all there is to just look for him and seek him. So the next person to share is Adrian.
Okay. The one thing that touched me the most during this retreat had to do with how when Brother Ting was giving the introduction about Exodus, and he was talking about how the books of Exodus were divided up into the different sections, and then it starts talking about chapter 1, the new Pharaoh, and then it goes chapter 2, 3, 4, and then 5, 6, 7 to 11, and 12 to 14. 12 to 14 is titled The New Beginning by him. And then, but that's not the end of Exodus. But by definition of Exodus, it means to escape from Egypt. And I thought that hit me all of a sudden. I was like, because I was only baptized since a year ago. Well, not even a year ago. Like half a year ago. And I thought about what I've done in my spiritual life since then. And just looking back, I can't really recall anything that is really too extraordinary or very spiritual by any means. And I think I may be one of the people that took the literal meaning of I get baptized and I'm saved, I get that life insurance that he was talking about, and then you just run away. Even though I go to church like regularly, I felt like my priorities were, I did not look to God at every possible situation in my life, and I thought that that really hurt my spiritual life, and that's something that I could seriously work on. Like, for example, when exams hit last semester, I, like, disappeared. It was, like, the first thing I thought of when I needed more time to study was to take out church time, and that's bad. Instead, after everything, I don't think I did too much better than I would have, even if I just attended all the activities that I, or all the church activities, going to fellowship. I don't think I would have done any worse, probably, most likely, even better, because I should be looking to God, and I should have that faith in Him that He will provide for me. So I thought that that was really convicting to me. And yeah, before I got baptized, Uncle Aaron also like gave me some baptismal like meetings, talking about just the background of Jesus Christ. And then he mentioned the compound names, and it was also talked about during the retreat. And I thought it was like a reminder to me that God is all these things. And whenever we pray to Him, we always talk about in the name of Jesus or in the name of our Lord. And the name of our Lord, He has so many names, and all these things we can believe in because it's in His name. So that's no lie, and that's the truth. So Jehovah Shalom, He is our peace. Sometimes I find that I'm really missing that in my life. I need to look to God more often to be that generation that seeks His face. And I've, before coming here, I was also praying about this, and hopefully we can all learn about doing that more often, trying to seek after His face and to look to God more often. And even though some activities in our life may seem like they aren't harmful to our spiritual life, but as you start to do them more often and they start to be a part of your life, before you even know it, they could be like snags, or they could be like tripping rocks, or yeah. And so yeah, look to God first. Thank you. Chung.
Wait, there was a name that was
called, though. Oh, it's Boar. It is Boar.
No, we're still in Boar.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure I studied that list, too.
So, hello everyone. How are you doing? That's not a rhetorical question. You can answer that if you want.
Good.
Thank you. So, I too, like Sam, was very encouraged by this retreat. That was just like a week ago. A week just flew by, and I had very little time to think about all I wrote down here because of work and such. But I'm glad the speaker decided to share about Moses, because I think I can really relate to him. And
So, to my notes here. So Moses was an Egyptian, and he had all that training, and he had skills, and you know, he was an important figure. And for me, when I was looking for a job, you know, I wanted an important position. And you know, now that I got my job, people ask me, "What do you do?" And then at the beginning, I would tell them I work in an accounting office, you know, because you know that's pretty important. You know, sounds pretty high up there. Well, not really, but close enough. And and then you say where, and then I was like, "Oh shoot, don't ask me where." I tell them Pacific Produce. It's like, "Wait, don't you sell fruits?" "No, I work at the office where we handle paper." But nowadays, now I just say like, yeah, I sell fruits, you know. Just, you know, don't ask me any more questions. But, you know, so when I started off, you know, I thought I could do all that, these tasks that they assigned me, so. And then, you know, so it was going pretty well until they added more responsibilities. And I realized how impotent I was, you know, getting paper cuts, you know, bleeding here and there. And I think I had really bad time management skills, I realized, because I never really finished things on Fridays because I'm really busy. And yeah, just overall, during this past week, I screwed up many times. And I think I wasted like 1,000 labels the week before the retreat. That was a pretty big bummer. I felt so guilty, but my supervisor finished off for me because I had to leave at 5. Yeah, gotta leave at 5. Anyways, so yeah, that's well, a bit of what I had to share about that. So what else was I gonna share? All right, what intrigued me about Moses, that Brother Ting shared, was that he had might, but he was only able to kill one Egyptian, and he had all the training, but he couldn't resolve an issue between two Hebrew brethren. And I think that many times we strive to be very accomplished in this world, but if we don't have the Lord, there's really nothing that we can do. And I think God has made me realize that He uses people that are emptied of self-confidence and dependence on other things. And so, yeah, it was interesting. It was when God led Moses out of Egypt into the wilderness, he was able to have that communion with God. And for me, in the same way, I think our internet connection is going to get cut soon, so in that sense, I think, yeah, I've been thinking about how much we depend on the internet at home for, you know, email, entertainment, you know, buying things. And that's going to be an interesting experience, I think. And actually, a guy at Front Sales, when I was walking back to work after lunch, he was like, "So, Chung, I know how you feel." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "You know, I was without internet for a week, and it was like, I was like dying." I was like, "What? How do you know?" I was like, "Oh, I read your Facebook status." I'm like, "Okay, it's kind of creepy." But anyways, see, that's why you got to avoid the internet. Yeah, it got me thinking, you know, how much I'd really, you know, depend on the internet and for everyday things and staring at a screen. Yeah, so I know that God is working in me. And my brothers too, I hope. Brother Ting also shared that the plagues are targeted at the Egyptians' dependents because they had like a river god for the Nile because it provided everything. And let me see if I have better notes here that I can describe. Yes, a river god. And the first plague was turning the Nile into blood. And there's also a fertility god with a female figure and a frog head, which I thought was kind of creepy. These guys kind of creepy. But the second plague was frogs, and all these plagues were aimed at the heart of Egypt's evil and their false gods. So, yeah, I'm beginning to learn that there are a lot of subtle things that we depend on in our daily lives that we may not even know, and so, yeah, something to watch out for. And that's really all I have to share for now. And the next person is Cindy, who is not crossed out.
So I was really thankful that I was able to attend the retreat this year. And there were many valuable lessons that I, messages that I received into my heart. But there was one particular thing that Brother Ting said that really touched my heart. And it was when he mentioned about like how to be a diligent Bible studier. He said that a lot of people nowadays, like, they read a verse in the Bible and then go straight to a study Bible to see like what others have said about that verse or how they've interpreted that verse without first asking themselves how they interpret that verse. And when he said that, I just felt that God was really speaking directly to me, because I'm like, that's exactly how I am sometimes, like when I prepare for Bible study. And I actually felt very ashamed, because you know, I read, when I prepare for Bible study, I read the verse and then I go straight to a study Bible, and that's sort of like taking the least amount of time, the least like effort to really read into God's word. And I just felt like so bad, because I'm like, I really should be spending more time in studying his words. So over this past week, I've been reflecting upon what Brother Ting had shared, and I sort of took it a slightly different way. Like on Wednesday, I went to a Starbucks like by myself, and I was preparing for Wednesday night Bible study. And so instead of like reading the verse, and then we're on Luke chapter 15 right now, instead of just like reading the chapter and then going straight to a study Bible, I actually took the time to really read into each like section of the chapter, and really try to see like what God is trying to tell me, and what he's trying to direct and relate to my myself. And so I felt that by doing that, God's words really sank deeper into my heart, and it just made it so much more meaningful to do it that way. And I just wanted to share it with share this with all of you tonight, because I think that we should really, take the time to study God's words and really receive it, like, you know, deep into our hearts. Like, not just prepare for Bible study just for the sake of preparing, but really taking his words into our heart and seeing what God is trying to say to us. And I think that we should really have the right attitude when we prepare for Bible study. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. Thanks. Andrew.
Hi everyone, I'm Andrew. Hello. I was at the back and I came in late, so I'm sorry. So I try not to repeat anyone what they've shared before. I was just trying to think of what I should share. And I think I think what touched me during the retreat was the topical study, being pure in heart. And I think I remember also when Brother Ting was sharing that things could get, he had a pretty good career and he wrote a few letters, and it seemed that he was pretty successful in his good family and with a son that's a doctor. And but I think he said that it was when he looked kind of look back in his career, it seems pretty meaningless. And yeah, so that really spoke to me. Because I guess when I reflect in the service, it seems everything's been going well and my career is going okay. Yeah, I have a good wife who's sitting at the back. And so, yeah, and now she's really embarrassed, so she's hiding. So I think, yeah, everything seems to be going well, but I think when I was going through the topical study, I think the opposite of pure in heart is poor in spirit. And I think for me, I really have to reflect upon that. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's just that when my relationship with God is not right, just preparing for Friday night Bible study just seems to be that much harder. So, yeah, I think being away and just putting myself back in the right focus and not just being distracted with, yeah, what the world has offered, yeah, has really spoken to me. So I'm babbling along, so I'll stop. And the next person is, we're just going down the list, right? So it's Terry.
Hi, brothers and sisters. So scary standing out here. I thank Lord that He gives me strength to share. And also thank Lord that I can have this opportunity to go to the retreat and spend time with our brothers and sisters. From the retreat, I think that's one thing that actually touched my heart. I read some scripture. The Bible says that Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still." I think that's about faithfulness. Left to ourselves, usually we are vulnerable to Satan's attacks and to the power of things in our lives. And only Christ can deliver us from such situations. And Moses encouraged his people to fear not and to stand firm. The Lord will fight for us, and we have only to be still. Like, it took faith for them to be still and to march forward. Like for us, when we are confronted with problems, we want to immediately take action. And under pressure, we might pray to the Lord that, and we're eager to get response from Him right away. But sometimes we complain that God doesn't answer instead of asking ourselves how much faith we have in Him. But God knows exactly when the right time is to give us the response. Like, to be still before God requires trust and confidence that He will act as only He can act. Instead of retreating from our problems, we must march forward through them with faith in God's help. Like, just as the Israelites had to work through the Red Sea with faith that God would bring them through safely. When I feel overwhelmed by temptation and by the power of sin, I start to ask myself that if I believe that God will fight for me and bring me freedom, what else I should fear of? And before I believe that I'm the only one who can solve my own problems, such as having a hard time in my study or not getting along with others. But those problems turned out to be worse with my own effort. Things always ended up with lots of complaints, and I did not know how to deal with them anymore. But thank God that He forgives my ignorance, and He keeps encouraging me that He has plans on each one of us, and do not worry, and I'm not useless in the eyes of Him. And things change, people change, circumstances change. But the Lord is unchanging. He has chosen us before we know Him and loves us as always. We just need to trust in Him and have simple faith in Him so that we can stand firm no matter what circumstances we face. Like Brother Tang said to us, like by faith we are able to release our problems into the hands of God, that the purpose of Him would be fulfilled in our lives. And that's what I want to share. And the next person is anyone who wants to stand up. So hi everybody. Well, anyways, why is it written on a napkin? Well, for this week, I've been thinking how for the past month I've been pretty down about a lot of things, and that. Yeah, I've been having my daily sessions with my doctor, and that I was always found that I was keep on complaining and being all sad about every little thing. But this week, while I was going to my weekly thing, I noticed that I really didn't have anything to say, because I felt that this week that I was pretty peaceful, not that anything really changed, but that instead of whenever I'm sad, instead of doing what I normally would do, like draw or stuff, I've been trying to read the Bible. Like during the messages in the English retreat, what touched me was how even though God knows that He could provide everything for us, when the Israelites cried out for food and for meat, that God still gave them what they naturally desire, but He also provided them the heavenly manna, which is what He gave, and that that hopefully that we will also depend more on God's food than the thing we naturally desire, and that, it's like, I just think that what He could give us is a lot better than anything we could think of. Yeah.
I hate it when this happens. And then I was like, no. But then it keeps pounding. But my thoughts are very scattered. There are just three things I'd like to share. One is one thing that really hit me was when he said, when the speaker said, we need to learn to release the problem into God's hand. And he gave the example of how Moses' mom, when she learned that when Pharaoh was trying to kill all the firstborn babies, by faith, she put Moses into the basket and sent him away. And it's not in the situation that she trusted, it's not in the basket that she trusted, but she put her trust in God. And so that that really hit home with me. In one of the devotions that we did, Psalm 139, it was talking about how fearfully and wonderfully we are made and how well acquainted God is with, that he's familiar with all of our ways. And then God brought to mind one story that I've forgotten for a while. It was when it talks about how one day an amateur sculptor had a good slab of stone and he was sculpting something, but he made a mistake. So now it's no longer of use for him because he didn't know how to fix it. So he just dumped it in the trash can. And then on the way, there's this another sculptor. He walked by the alley and he saw the stone and then he saw the material and he said, hey, this is still good. Although it's a bit scarred up and marred, but it's still good. So he took it home and then he started to work on it. And it became one of the great statue, which is David, the statue of David, and the artist was Michelangelo. So the lesson of the story is when put into the hands of a skilled master, even if we seem to be messed up or scarred up or however condition we are in, as long as we put ourselves in God's hand, he knows. He's a skillful master. He knows how to work beautiful things out of our life. But the key point is, as long as we put ourselves in God's hand, he knows how to work things out. So we don't have to worry about how do we fix ourselves? How do we lift ourselves up? How do we, get better? All these things. But just simply put ourselves in God's hand. He is skillful in what he's doing. God knows what he's doing, and he knows how to make beautiful things in his time. Thirdly, okay, remember how he said, when Robert Ting said, how many of you live each day expecting great things from God and expecting that, today is the day that, God will do great things in me? And then when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay. And after the retreat, third day of work, I had 4 hours of sleep and I was so tempted to stay home, right? But I know that that's not pleasing before God. So I was like, okay, God, I'll go to work. And then as I went to work, I was like, God, I need you to strengthen me and help me. And then that message from that line from the message came to mind. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to test you out. Today will be a great day. I'm expecting something. And then sure enough, something awesome did happen. So I was teaching the kids how to read notes in base notes. And then after class, one of the kids came to me. This is a grade 6 kid. He said, oh, Ms. Chang, I need help because I don't know how to read the notes. And I said, okay, come at lunchtime. He came at lunchtime. And then after I finished teaching him, he said, yeah, in my old school, I never learned this. Only grade 1, but afterwards I never. And I said, oh, what school did you go to? He said, Don Christian, but it's not a Christian school. And then I thought that was kind of weird because usually people don't care whether, they wouldn't make that statement whether it's a Christian school or not. And I said, are you a Christian? And he said, yeah. And he said, I think I am. And and then he said, well, in grade 2, 3, and 4, my mom sent me to a Christian school. And then we got to learn about, God, things like that. But I really wanted to take religion, but they didn't let me. And then afterwards, And then what happened? He kept on sharing how his parents are divorced. And then his mom moved in with the boyfriend, and the boyfriend turned out to be a bum, not doing anything except watching TV and playing games. And then that boyfriend actually has two kids, like two young kids, and younger than him. And so he said, they're violent. They were raised violent, but I'm not violent. And so I quarantined myself in the room. Like, he would get food and then just hide in his room. And then and this kid, he also has diabetes, like the first kind. So he would have to carry around with him like the needle. And he's been diagnosed with that diabetes since age 3. And he also has another kind of disease. I don't know what it's called. So he has to wear this necklace in case that he falls over and something happens. Then the medical people will know what is his case. And then when I looked at him, I was so wowed. I was thinking. And I thought, and I told him, I said, you know what, I truly believe that this is not by accident, that you have newly moved into our school, that you are my student, that we get a chance to talk like this. And God knows those whose heart, he sees right into your heart, and he knows who believes in him and who does not. And then he said, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I do. Like, when he said that, like, yeah, it was so touching. Like, you know, God was there, and he was the one that engineered all this. And so, yeah, so that was my wow moment. Like, great expectation from the Lord, and yeah, he really made it happen. So that was cool. Thanks.
I need someone translate for me.
I'm very happy
I'm very happy that I attended the retreat.
我在这次 retreat 中学到了特别多的东西。
I learned a lot of things in this retreat.
第一件事就是当神召唤就是摩西的时候，然后摩西用了很多借口来拒绝神。When
God called Moses, Moses came out with a lot of excuses to push him away.
然后我就觉得这个特别像我。
And I felt that I'm just like him.
对，因为神，当我第一次接触神的时候，我也特别的，我不是特别抵触，但是我有很多的疑问，我还是不，我总是不确定，然后总是找超级多的理由来，来躲避他。
In my encounter with God, I didn't really fight with him, but I came up with a lot of excuses to hide from him.
但是还好他对我很好，他还是很努力的说服我，终于我被他说服了。But
he's been very good to me, and he keep coming after me, and I yield to him.
然后他就让我认识了你们。And
then he introduced me to you guys.
让我觉得认识他特别特别的好。And
I sense that it's so good to know him.
我觉得认识他之后我改变了特别多。Oh,
I sense that I feel that after I know him, I changed quite a bit.
我以前总是说别人的坏话。And
in the past, I used to gossip.
但是后来我知道神只觉得这样做不好，所以我不那么做了。And
later I learned that God's not happy with it, so I don't do it anymore.
然后我就觉得也特别特别期待下个星期的这个星期的受浸。
And I find that I'm looking forward to the baptismal meeting this Sunday.
然后我就觉得我终于真正的成为一个基督徒。
And I felt, oh, finally, I'm going to become a Christian.
然后我就觉得，嘿，真好，我这样子就可以停止了吧。
And that concludes my sharing.
No.
Oh, sorry. You want to stop? Sorry. You're Beijing Guoyu.
这样子我就可以停止。
Oh, then I felt that I can stop my encounter with him.
因为我终于我成了基督徒，这不是他想要的吗？
Oh, I become a Christian, so that's what he wants.
但是后来我发现，后来听那个丁弟兄说，我才发现不是这样的。
And after listening to Brother Ding, I figured that it wasn't the way.
就跟出来，出埃及以后，这才是他们的旅途真正的开始。After
the Exodus, it's the part when the Israelites actually commence their journey with God.
所以我才明白，等我受浸以后，这才是我真正的旅途的开始。So
I learned that after my baptism, it's finally my the commencement of my walk with God.
所以，不管以后跟随他的路有多么多么的困难。So
no matter how hard the path is ahead.
我想，我觉得我肯定会还是紧紧的跟着他。I'm
pretty sure that I will follow him closely.
因为没有他，我就生活在黑暗里面，我找不到自己，找不到方向。
Because without him, I can't find myself and I can't find any direction.
所以你们也紧紧跟着他吧。So
maybe you guys can follow him closely too.
谢谢大家。
Thank you. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is my first retreat.
之前大家弟兄姊妹都讲了关于 Brother Ting 的东西，我就不在这里说，因为都我知道的给你们说完。
I'm not going to repeat what Brother Ting said because some of you have heard it already.
有一点我感触最深，就是对于这次 retreat 我感触最深的是。
And there's one thing that touched me most.
就是奉献。
It's about consecration.
因为我从retreat之前看到了像 Kelvin 像 Sam 他们每个弟兄都在为这个 retreat 做准备的时候，然后真正到了 retreat 才发现自己什么都没做。
Before the retreat, I see brothers like Kelvin and Sam preparing for the retreat, and then I realized that I didn't really prepare or do anything for the retreat.
感觉到自己就是对教会、对主没有奉献过什么。
I felt that I haven't really given anything to the church or to the Lord.
当去 retreat 的时候，然后看到大家弟兄姊妹都在为主奉献，我自己感到很 ashamed.
When I see you guys serving at the retreat, I felt a little ashamed.
所以也不知道旅去的某一刻，我突然就听到主的声音，我一定要奉献。And
after the retreat, I heard the Lord's voice to me, and I felt that I need to consecrate myself.
而且之前也听了很多，像 Aiden 也跟我说过很多关于奉献的事，所以。 我现在整天都在心里想着怎样才能对主奉献。
And I heard a lot about consecration from the likes of Aiden, and others, and I contemplated about how I should consecrate myself.
但有时候我在想，到时奉献是到底是让大家能看到，还是让人不看到？
I'm thinking about whether consecration is for someone to see or it's something hidden.
有时候如果我有时候故意做的，就是不让人看到的时候，就知道主会看到，所以心里会特别高兴。
When my consecration is hidden, no one sees it, but only the Lord knows. That caused me to rejoice.
但是有时候看到，如果自己不奉献的话，自己又做不了。像其他弟兄姊妹或者像其他外面的人，没做不了见证的话，他们也不知道你在干什么。
But if there is nothing to show, then no one knows about my consecration, and it's not a good testimony.
所以有时候内心就很矛盾。
So there's a struggle inside.
还有时候我见到有些路边的人，我记得有一次走路的时候。那边在那里，然后就见到一个乞丐。
When I was on the road with Nadia, I met this beggar.
那个乞丐上面写的 Jesus loves you.
And the beggar has a sign that says Jesus loves you.
但是他就坐在路边，就等着人给钱他。
But he just sat there and waits for someone to give him money.
那 Nadia 就给了他一块钱还是多少？
And Nadia gave him some change.
但是我在想，我到底要不要给他
？But I thought, oh, should I give him something?
他到底是在借着主的名义在骗人家钱，还是怎样
？Is he here to profit from the Lord's name or something else?
我相信主也不会让他这么又不是残疾人，什么都可以，他可以自己去做工作。
He's not handicapped or anything, so he can work.
So I didn't
give him anything.
从那件事也给我语气的时候，也会联想到，就是这些事，如果就整天就像给钱那些都是表面的东西，但到底应不应该做呢？
For small things like giving change, it's something outward, but is it something that I should do or not?
所以在语气的时候。我就一直在睡觉的时候就整天会想到这些问题。
During the evening in the retreat, on my bed, I would think about such things.
不好意思，就很少回忆 Brother Ting 的话。
I didn't really reflect on what Brother Ting said.
就这么多。好 ，Thank you.
Hello. Okay, so I want to share something. First of all, when I drove to the retreat, last year I didn't go because I was on my way to the retreat last year, and halfway I didn't go and turn back. And yeah, it's just dumb. This year I made it because I guess God put someone a responsibility in my life.So I have to drive Chum to the retreat. So yeah, so I'm sorry I rushed you to the retreat. But I'm glad I went to the retreat because the message there was hits me to me personally because Well, actually, before I get into that, how many of you have done the grind, like going up Gross Mountain? Yeah. Well, during the retreat, right? Brother Ting talked about how Moses went up to Mount Sinai and talked to God, right? And so during the retreat, after lunch, I went out like on the backyard and I saw this big mountain, right? So big that I took a picture of it. Then I thought about it, like, how did Moses like go up to Mount Sinai and, you know, talk to God all the time, right? He must be physically fit. So that's the first thing that came into my mind. But then I thought about Gross Grind. Like, it took me like over an hour, right, at least. And how did he possibly go up there like all the time talking to God and stuff? I bet he's thinking like, oh no, like when the Israelites are complaining, I bet he's thinking like, oh no, I have to go up to Mount Sinai again. No, climb all the way up there, you know. So that's the first thing I thought about. But the Bible never said that. He never complained about that. So I'm thinking that's pretty good, pretty cool of a guy. So now about the topic. Okay, so Moses, so God said to Moses three things. Well, actually, God told Moses that he wants him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. So first question Moses asked, who am I? Who am I supposed, like, who am I, right? And then God said, well, I'll be with you, and, you know, and that answered that question. So question number two, it says, who are you? Who are you, God? Who are you to tell me to lead these people? And then God said, I am. So therefore, like, he is God, and God is, you know, he's the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and Jacob. And then third question Moses asked, like, what evidence do, like, what authority, under what authority? And then God said, you could use the staff, and then turns into a serpent. Then fourth question talks about, like, well, Moses said, I don't have the speech. I don't know what to say to the Pharaoh. And then God said, like, like Moses just trying to make excuses. That makes me think, like, hey, how many times have I not done exactly what God wanted me to do? And many times I want to, like, come to church and ended up going to, let's say, doing something else. And just excuses after excuses. And I bet most of you would agree that we all have some sort of excuses that we say or have done that really hurt God. So, yeah, that's what I want to share. Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired right now because I just came back from band tour. I just stayed in the bus for like 5 hours. Yeah, not that pleasant. So, yeah, I didn't really look over my notes yet because I just came back and it was like 3 days. So my head's kind of woo. Okay, okay. Just give me a second. Okay, during my banter, because I couldn't really think about God that much, I looked through my notes while everyone was talking. Not a good thing to do. But I saw, like, I remembered Moses saying the excuses for not being able to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God said that he is I am, which was like, which meant he is like yesterday, today, and tomorrow kind of thing. So it kind of, it was like he's always there for me kind of thing. And then it kind of encouraged me because during my banter, I didn't think about him, which made me feel bad. So, but he was always with me. And just something that I wanted to share while I was at the tour, I was sharing rooms with my friends and another friend and my... Okay. There were two rooms, and then I was in one room with four people, and then my other friends were in one with five people. And then, not to be racist or anything, the people in the other room, there were like four Asians and then one other girl who wasn't Asian. And then like only one of them was close with her, and everyone was kind of feeling awkward. So then there was kind of fight, I guess. I don't know. So then I was in the room, and they were kind of gossiping about the two other girls, and it's really confusing. But anyways, so then, I don't know. I just kind of felt really weird because I didn't really want to talk behind their back kind of thing. So I just kind of left the room, went to the other person's room, and then I kind of switched rooms with them. So then they kind of solve things, but then, I don't know, they're kind of being really weird because they didn't want to share a bed with five people, with the non-Asian person kind of thing. But then when the five Asian people were together, they were fine with it. I don't know, I just felt really bad because that girl is really nice and everything, even though she sleep talks. But, so yeah, and then, let's see. Oh yeah, and just want to also share about living every day kind of to its fullest kind of thing. And, just knowing that every day God controls it and God just does something new every day. Yeah.
Hello. Hey, it's orange pen. Looks good. So this past week I got some calls and I missed two of them from Sam, and I found out that it was because he was calling around asking if people want to share, right? And I was kind of abrupt right when he asked the question. I was like, no! Sorry about that. Yeah. The reason is because I'm a little different. I don't have like a success story of how good I feel after the retreat, so I didn't really want to come up here. But see, I missed two calls, so it's like, you know, when God called Moses, he went Moses, Moses. So I missed two calls. So I always call people twice. The thing is, so yesterday I went to the beach with Maria, and then, so she knows all about my, like, I was complaining to her about my horrible spiritual condition, and how I would love to just, like, not come to church, but I'd like you guys, so I'm still here. But the thing is, all the stuff I do is very outward, and I just feel really discouraged, because, I don't really have that relationship with God like you guys, so it's very frustrating. And so we were walking along the beach, and then I was going as far away as I could, and we were just walking, and then there's this voice that goes, what was it? How far do you... How far do you want to go kind of thing? Or when do you want to turn around? And there's just Maria being tired and she wants to turn around. But like...
No, but the point is, like, I was like, hey, Maria, that's like God talking to me, because that's the question I've been asking myself, right? I've been asking myself, like, how far do you want to go? I want to go as far as I can and be like a rebel. I think I missed that period of my life. That is the question I've been asking, like, do I really want to leave? And the answer, like, I have this little part of me that knows that I won't leave. I know that this is it, but Maria was just encouraging me and saying that, like, God knows how I am right now. And it's just like a lesson of trust that we all learn over and over and over again. It's our whole spiritual life, we just learn more about how to trust God. And so I'm not there yet. I still really suck right now, and I'm feeling horrible. But yeah, it's about chest. So, ta-da!
Bad at intercepted for. But I felt that in my heart. So I don't know what Florence is talking about all of us having a good relationship with the Lord, because I don't really feel that way, even though I'm quite a bit older. And, you know, it seems like if you have more years with the Lord, you should be better. But I've been really... I guess the retreat actually didn't move me in any way when I went. It wasn't the way when I felt like the Lord really speaking to me, or there's something emotional that is stirred up. I know that it's not all about emotions, but I actually felt really disappointed. As I sat there, I was like, Lord, how come you're not speaking to me? And but then I think, as our sister just mentioned, it is about trust. And I think what I've been really hearing the Lord tell me through this retreat are two things. And the first thing is to do with Egypt being a land of death. And I've been teaching ancient Egypt for the grade sixes and sevens in my class. And we've been learning a lot about how there's the mummification process, how they put hearts and lungs and intestines into like a little canopic jar, and how they would do all these things in preparation for the afterlife. And they even have something called the Book of the Dead. And when I heard Brother Ting saying, yes, Egypt is a land of death. There is no life there. And so much is centered on death. And so when I was like hearing that, I couldn't help but agree that, you know, when he said that the Lord is the one who gives us life. And it reminds me of the verse the Lord says, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And so he says that we need to trust in the Lord and that he is the one who helps us through. Because many times I find that it's very stagnant in my spiritual life. Like I think, you know, when you get a bit older, you've been at church, you know the routines, you know how things are. You kind of get into a rut, and you kind of just continue living the way that you have been. And it's easy just to be very outward in many things. But deep in my heart, I really long for something more than just what's outward, all this activity on the outward. And I feel that there's no life, that there's much just routine, just doing. And I think the second thing that spoke to me was the last message when our brother was talking about the tabernacle and how, you know, there's the outer court and then there's the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. And, you know, he was describing how each part of that tabernacle, there are certain things there, like on the outer court, you would see the laver and you would also see the brazen altar and all that. But then the presence of the Lord, where you had intimate fellowship with the Lord, it was right in the Holy of Holies. And so for a long time, I've been struggling with some failures in my life, not being able to overcome some sins in my life. And I think I just feel really discouraged because I feel like it's been a long time and I still cannot overcome the things that I know I should be overcoming in the Lord. And I found that my spiritual life, even as of the last 6 months, it's been very dry. I mean, there are the occasions where I hear the Lord speaking, but I mean, on a daily basis, I don't even have the strength to open up my Bible to read it, only for fellowship and so on. But I heard the Lord reminding me again to cease my outer court activity, to cease just concentrating on the doing, but come and fellowship with Him and commune with Him. And I think it's the call that He's been giving me, but I don't feel like I have the strength, but yet I'm reminded tonight that it's not by myself, but it's really by His Spirit. And so I think I wanted to share one thing with you, and it's a song that, interestingly enough, on the last message, I was thinking about the song, and it's Take Me In, and the song's lyrics, I couldn't remember all of it, but it was really funny because at the end of it, Sam came up to me, Sam Lee. He was like, "Hey, Minerva, I have something cool to show you." I was like, "What?" Right? I didn't know what it was, but he was like, "Oh yeah, you know this? There's a song I wanted to share with you." And he goes, "But I forgot the music to it." Okay, now I remember. And when he showed it to me, it was the song "Take Me In." He forgot the music, but I forgot the words. So like we both, when we were together, I found that the Lord was good because I really wanted to remember the song. And the words go like this: "Take me." How does it go? Take me past the outer courts, into your holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Take me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's found in only one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take my heart, cleanse my lips. Here I am. So I felt that the Lord is reminding me to stop being Martha and be Mary and come and sit at His feet.
All right. Hello, everyone. Where's my name that's crossed out? Anyways, it's good that I see a lot of brothers and sisters coming up to share, and yeah. One thing that touched me during I found interesting was when our brother talked about the tabernacle, because when you read the Bible, like, it's always 10 cubits wide, 10 cubits long, 10 cubits high, and then like you fall asleep, right? Because it's like, oh man, tabernacle. And it's kind of like when I read it before, it's so kind of like old school, you know, we don't have a tabernacle or anything like that. But like he pointed out that, you know, like it's built a certain way, it has certain quarters, certain measurements, and has certain things like in the altar. And like for example, the bronze altar, that was like near the front, I guess. Like, that's something that really, when he shared about that, you know, like when you read in the Bible, oh, it's a bronze altar for sacrifice and stuff. But, he mentioned that it signifies the sacrifice of the Lord, right? And then I'm like, oh, what's that, right? Don't people just burn stuff on it? And, like it's how it's made, you know, like when you read about the Bible, it has all these details of how it's made, and it's made with, like, this acacia wood, like this kind of normal wood, and it's dry and not of insignificance, but it's over, like, it's covered with like bronze, right? And it's how, like, we are like the wood, right? It's like very common, like very dry, and you know, nothing special. And like the Lord's judgment is upon us, and so I guess the fire on the altar kind of thing. And if like there's no bronze covering the altar, then like the altar would burn up, like the wood would burn up, and just just reminds me like of what Christ has done on the cross for us, that he covered us like with the bronze, and so we can withstand like the judgment of God. And so I thought that was pretty cool. Like, wow, never thought of the bronze altar could be so mean, so like so much, right? And yeah, like all those things that are in the tabernacle, like in the Old Testament, right? Like before Christ and everything, but it still links back. It still shows the presence of God, and like Christ is still there. Like for example, the wash basin as well. Like it's like living that holy life, you know, being cleansed. The lampstand and the showbread is like the light and the provision of Christ. And so it's, I never saw it like that. I just thought, oh, it's wash basin, you go and you wash your hands, right, before you go in, you know. Never thought too much about it and about the tabernacle and stuff like that. But it just shows that each and every little detail, like how God has designed the tabernacle to show the life of Christ, right? And just a little something else too, like he's there's like three different kind of gates or doorways or stuff. The main gate is like the way, the holy place is the truth, and like the holy is the holiest, the veil is the life of Christ. And so as Christians, for me, usually I kind of stand around on the outside and stuff, but what Jesus did for us on the cross, the veil was torn, and we can come freely into the Holy of Holies and to live that life with Christ. And so, that's just a really good reminder for me. And one more thing, when our brother was sharing about the names of God, one of the names is Jehovah Shammah, which is which means house or dwelling place. And so indeed, I'm reminded that we should really just dwell in the Lord to live in his presence always. Thanks.
So nervous. It really takes some courage to walk up here. I just want to briefly share something. In the past years, I am really a lazy Christian. Frankly speaking, I don't read Bible at all. So during the retreat conference, when I heard Brother Ting says that as a Christian, you should be diligent Bible study, dear. You should read the words itself and then study the conscription, and then read it over and over, and to be familiar to the content. I used to think that to maintain a relationship, an intimate relationship with Lord, I can just pray sincerely. But before I came to church with Sonia, I really felt that I am alienated from the Lord. And then, but no matter how sincere I pray, I don't feel his spirit is dwelling in me. So I really think this is something that I should learn. And then this really touched my heart because I felt a great shame about it. And then also I want to thank Lord because unfortunately, I caught cold during the conference, but I prayed to the Lord and saying that I really have many exams in this month, so I can't be sick. And I just want to thank you for his amazing healing hand that my cold recovered in 3 days. And then when I went back to home, not as the sisters told me that I will feel terribly bad, but my cold just recovered so soon. Just thank Lord.
So we have 2 or 3 minutes left.
So this is going to be the last call for sharings. Sweet.
Hey guys, you hear me? Okay. I think I got asked like once each day, every week by a different person this week just to share. So, but anyways, looking back over the retreat, like this is the first retreat in a few years that I've attended, mainly because in previous years I've been busy with school or away on holiday. And now that I think back, I don't think I really got something in particular from the messages, mainly because of, well, there was a time years ago when I had a conference and the guy was talking about Moses, only this conference was 5 days long with 3 sessions each day, so it was pretty intense, but one thing I do want to share is I think Robert Tang mentioned something once about how, as Christians, we have our private independent growth with God, but we also grow corporately as a body, so we need to live the church life. And one of the moments that touched me most during this retreat was not something you would expect, but it was actually when I just entered, say, the dining room. And I see everyone sitting around and everyone's talking or sharing or waiting to gather to pray together or when everyone's just in the meeting room. And I would just be standing there just looking at everybody and just think, wow, you know, this is my home church. This is a spiritual family. We're all here together. And somehow just standing there, like, it just feels, you know, I'm part of this. This is like, this is a family that I'm part of, and we're growing together. If there's a need, you know, there are people that I can talk to, that I can pray with. And for me, this has actually been very, I don't know what the right word is, but it's been very important because for the past few months, right, like, I've been seriously considering which school I'm going to be going to next, and I'm still not completely sure, but it's very likely that I'll be going somewhere else in September. And looking back over this, I mean, it just feels very ironic that at around the time that, you know, I'm getting ready to leave, like, I can really learn to see what it is being in a home church, being living the church life and being with brothers and sisters. And if I look at it in a certain way, it seems very ironic in that I finally understand what I have just before I'm about to leave. But at the same time, I guess in a given event, if I do go, like, I also really thank God for teaching me this and giving me this before I go. So I have that foundation in Him. And, you know, I have that bases or home that I belong in. So no, there isn't really anything that stuck out to me from the messages, but this is something that was really in me. Yeah.
So due to time, we're gonna have to end here tonight. So maybe we'll end with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I really want to thank you for all that's been said tonight. We want to thank you that you truly have spoken to all of us at this retreat, and it really was your voice that we heard. We really want to pray that the words you've spoken would really be planted deep in our hearts in good soil. We don't want these words that you've spoken to go to waste. But Lord, I pray that you would keep them, and you would really teach us how to act upon what it is that we've heard. Yeah, so Lord, once again, we want to come before you and we want to praise you for being so good to us during this retreat. We want to praise you for being so good to us in the time we have to share with one another. And I want to thank you that you really did provide during this retreat. So we want to thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.